Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
Born with a defect on his head.
You still got your bad leg?
Yeah.
Still painful?
I don't know if I've got a fracture or they call it... Okay. So, what I'm going to say to you is this, as by way of introduction, right? Is that when I quote John 3:16 to Liam or Janet or maybe even yourself, Karen, right? I know Dominic what he would say, but you know what it says, don't you? Yeah?
For God so loves the world,
yeah,
whoever believes in him,
yeah,
cannot perish but have everlasting life.
Yeah. Well, you didn't quote it all.
No.
And
but I know how it feels.
Yeah, but you've got to learn to quote it all.
Yeah.
If I say the same thing to Janet,
I know the by heart.
She's going to say it all, Liam.
Yeah.
You don't want her putting you to shame, do you? So, do you want to say it then?
Yeah. For God so loved the world,
yeah,
that he gave his only begotten son.
Yeah.
That whosoever believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Okay.
We just got into theos ton cosmos, poste ton hion ton monogene. Espon in a pass, pistol is autumne, the party or echo zone.
What's that, Dom?
I am Greek.
Greek, okay. So, thank you. So, why I've said this, right, Karen, why I've mentioned this is because you know it.
Yeah.
You know it off by heart since you was a little girl. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah.
When you went to Sunday school as a little girl, yeah, right? So the Bible, the New Testament, is full of little verses. Verses that are golden nuggets. Mm. That verse, you would call it a golden nugget. And not only is it a golden nugget, it is the whole gospel story in a nutshell.
Yeah.
You know, you go out down the park, especially now, this time of year, there's lots of nutshells. Yeah?
Yeah.
There's acorns.
One here.
Yeah. There's acorns, there's horse chestnuts. They're all shells with nuts in them.
Yeah.
And you can eat the nuts. Not all of them, but they'll make you healthy.
Eat acorns.
No. You might turn into a squirrel. All right. However, okay, what I'm going to say to you tonight, and this might become a theme, I'm not sure. There are other verses that are also golden nuggets, and I'm going to share one with you tonight. Now, I know, and it's not to undermine you, but I know you, if I said the verse, I would be highly surprised if you said, yeah, I know what that is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Dominic will know what it is, but I don't think, and we're going to read it.
Yeah.
So it's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, okay? And that is another golden nugget. It's in the New Testament. It's the first gospel account of Jesus.
I got it.
You've got it. Matthew chapter 11. Give us the Bible and I'll look it up for you. All right. You've got it upside down, I think. Oh, no. She hasn't. It's just that they've worded the chapters and verses upside down.
Yeah, right. I've got it on here.
You've got it as well. There we go. There it is. Matthew 11:28. Right. It's quite small print. It starts there, all right?
Yeah.
So here we are, and I'll read it to you. You ready?
Yeah.
Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you, or ye, shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So here we who's speaking here?
Jesus.
Okay.
Jesus.
Yeah. So this is the words of Jesus, and he's speaking to the crowds, speaking to the disciples. All right. I don't mind. Do you want to read it? Yeah, go on. Go on.
What, from 28?
28, 29 and 30.
Come unto me, all ye that
labour
and are
heavy
laden, and I will give you rest. Take my
yoke upon
you and listen of me, for I am
meek
and lowly in heart, and yet you
shall find
unto my soul.
For my yoke is easy,
and my
life. Yeah. So, I've asked you who's speaking, and you said it's the Lord Jesus, okay? And he is requesting you.
You're right, Janet.
Yeah.
He's requesting you to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is one of those golden nugget verses. And it's one that you should learn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because who else, let me ask you this question. Who else wants you?
The devil.
Well, yes, right.
But then God wants us.
Yeah, well, this is the point. Who else wants you? Does anyone else want you?
Yeah, Jesus.
No, I know Jesus wants you. That's what we're taught. I said, who else? Jesus has said these words, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So that's not answering the question, is it? I already know that. Who else wants you, Liam?
Well, my mum.
Well, you're right, that's okay. That's
your
okay.
Dad.
Eh?
Your dad.
Yeah.
Granddad or your grandma.
Yeah, that's family, okay?
Yeah, that's family.
All right. But not everybody else. Who wants you? Who is asking for your company? Not many people.
No, they're not.
No.
No.
If anything, you could say, well, no one wants me.
Yeah.
If you were really honest. Who?
Like these people on the TV adverts, homeless people, they, or these, what's it, they've been neglected.
Neglected.
Yeah.
And they've been hurt by their own mums and dads.
Yeah.
That how children normally can be thinking, how can we be unsaved? To find a new place in that.
Okay, let me carry on, Liam, all right? Time will run out.
Yeah.
So the Lord Jesus, from the outset, he's saying, come to me.
Yeah.
And if you hear those words, what are you going to do?
I'd go to him.
Yeah. Right, well, common sense says that.
Yeah.
What would you do, madam? If he's asking you to come to him, what are you going to do?
I'll go to him.
What does he promise to do? In the first verse. You need to look at your Bible to find the answer.
Give us rest.
Exactly.
That's very good, Karen.
Exactly. You need, the answer is in here. Mm. All right. You only have to read it. Verse 28. Do you think people need rest?
Yes.
Because people are stressed out.
Mm. I'm stressed out.
Are you? Are you?
Yeah.
About what?
Because I told them at the disabled centre, but I'm stressed out.
What has stressed you out?
Living in that place where I am.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like it?
No.
The best thing...
I'm waiting for them to move me, but they're taking their time.
Well, Janet, I could talk about that afterwards.
Yeah.
But I won't talk about it, especially while I've got a camera looking at me.
Yeah.
All right? But it was your choice to move out of where you were.
Yeah.
And because that's a lot of palaver, and I'm already going against what I just said, and they're not in a hurry to move you out, all right?
Yeah.
But the best thing you could do, the best thing you could do is invite Jesus into your flat with you.
Yeah.
And say, Lord Jesus, I am stressed out, and I'm coming to you because that's what you're asking me to do. And if you're promising to give me rest for my soul, please come and live in my flat with me.
Yeah.
And that will help me to find some rest.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, Jesus, this is very, how about this? Jesus doesn't say here in this verse, don't come to me. I don't need you. I don't want you to stress me out. He doesn't talk like that, does
no.
he? Have you ever noticed Jesus talk like that in a gospel story?
No.
He's the opposite to that.
He helps you.
Yeah, because he's not selfish.
No.
You know, he says, look, come to me and I will give you rest for your souls, right? You know, Karen, you've been a mum all Liam's life. And Stephen's life, all right? So when Liam was a baby, and Stephen, and they were crawling on the floor, on the carpet, yeah, and after a year or so of crawling around, right, Liam, they decided to stand on their own 2 feet, right? Now, you've been a mum as well. You had two sons. And they your boys, they decide to stand on their feet and they're looking around and they think, tell you what, I want to start learning to walk, right?
Yeah.
You'd be excited about that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And as a mum, with Liam or your boys, right, and you see them stand, you say, Liam, come on, come to mummy. Yeah, come to mummy. Well, you probably did that, didn't you?
Yeah.
To Liam and Stephen.
He didn't really walk until he was 19 months.
Well, that doesn't matter. Done that. Some kids are like that.
But Stephen, he was the crusty one. He used to get up on his feet before. You know, he was off and ready. He was well away, but... It took a bit longer.
It doesn't matter. You can...
But
Liam...
We did find out he had a... He fell down the stairs when he was little and he ended up with a irritable hip, so he had to go in hospital for that.
As long as you was walking before you was 19, that's all that matters, all right?
Definitely.
Okay. But you had your boys, and when they stood up, did you say, come on, boys, come on, come to mummy?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And Dominic's parents would have done the same. Mm. They'd have said, come on. Come on, little Dom. Come on, boy. You know, because children, you know, we need encouragement as Christians. You need encouragement because you're stressed out, right?
Yeah.
But we all need someone to encourage us. And if it's Jesus who's saying, come to me,
yeah.
Well, who's going to say no?
No one.
We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's just saying, come to me. I tell you what, I know life will stress you out, but I'll give you rest for your soul. Who would turn their back on that?
No one will.
Nobody will.
If your little baby boy was learnt to stand on their feet and they wanted to try and walk, you wouldn't say, oi, you stay away from me. Don't come near me. Eh? Mm. Don't want you near me. You just don't talk like that, do you?
No.
But Jesus is offering to us to come to him. Mm. That is great. That is great. And it's worth our attention. Mm. Even a cat or a dog, a little pet. You say, what's your cat's name?
Sammy.
Sammy. Come on, Sammy. Come on. It'll probably come now, won't it, right? But you do the same with your little dog or your little cat. You know, what's your new dog's name, Dom?
Tilly.
Come on, Tilly. Come on. Have you done that yet? See, look, even Dom's done it.
Yeah. This clicker thing that you click it and it just comes because you click it because you feed it. And
yeah.
Click it.
So, you know, the kindness of Jesus. Have you ever, well, I'll tell you what. Earlier on, you phoned Janet and you said to Janet, Janet, we're having a Bible study. Why don't you come round?
Hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah,
what did you did you say? No, forget it. I'm not interested.
No.
You didn't say that, did you?
No.
You said no.
She did turn around and say, oh, I won't come tonight. I said, no, you can come tonight because I'll pay for your taxi to coming down and John will give you a little hug. She says, oh, I didn't listen to that bit.
Do you want me to give you a lift home or do you want to walk home?
No, give me a lift home, please.
If you heard, if
someone was saying, look, Janet, Karen, Liam, Dom, can you come to my party? Yeah?
Yeah.
Someone is inviting you out for a party or dinner. What are you going to say?
I would say, yes, please.
Yes, please. You know, lot today, it's very sad, right? Because I met a lady, and when I've met her, I've told her about my Christian faith, and I've told her that I believe in Jesus, and that I follow Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And I said these things to try and get a response out of her, and to see what she would say. And I like her. She's got a daughter, she's got a little son. She said, no, I'm not interested, John, because she told me she had some trouble growing up with abuse. And because of it, she says to me that she is not interested in God, because she says when she was crying and getting hurt by somebody, and she prayed, she told me she prayed, and she said God never came to help me. But I, as a Christian, as a preacher, evangelist, I was inviting her to come to God, to come to Jesus.
Yeah.
But she was saying, I'm not interested, John, because she was putting her hurts from her memory before coming to Jesus.
Yeah.
But she doesn't realise the benefits of coming to Jesus.
No.
Because he says, I will give you rest for your souls.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means you can have peace in your heart.
Yeah, it turned her life around, and that's what she needs.
Exactly, Karen.
Needs to get that rest, and, you know.
He can offer her forgiveness for her sins.
Yeah.
And whoever sinned against her, she can then forgive them. But now She's bound up in her old hurts.
Yeah. And
do you know what she told me the other day? Mm. Oh, she said, I've got a psychiatrist now. Mm. And because I'm depressed, my psychiatrist is referring me to a mental health clinic so that I can start taking tablets. I thought to myself,
that is the wrong course to go down to.
Exactly. Well, I'm not saying that, but you're saying it, and I agree with you. But she's refused to come to Jesus, who can give her rest for her soul, and she's gone to a psychiatrist. She doesn't know the psychiatrist, and they're saying, I'll send you to the mental health team. They'll give you some Smarties to cheer you up.
Oh,
that is the worst thing. It's not the right answer, is it?
She could get addicted to them. And she could be worse off than what she is now.
Exactly. Exactly.
And she'll probably end up resenting the kids if she has got kids.
Oh, it's very sad.
And it's just mind-blowing, really.
So Jesus offers all of us to come to him.
Yeah.
And to give us rest for our souls.
Yeah.
But people refuse. People refuse very sadly.
When I pray to God, I say, would you let me come into my life, come into you?
Let me read on, right? If you don't mind, I'm going to read the next verse, 29, right?
Yeah,
29. He says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people would say this to any one of us.
No.
In fact, I don't think anybody would.
No.
You know, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls.
Mm.
It's like this. He is saying, how I live my life, how I operate, how I try to get through life, this is my yoke, right? This is my yoke.
Mm.
And, you know, if you would listen to my lifestyle, if you will watch it, if you will learn from my behavior,
yeah,
and put it into practice yourself, you will be at peace. Perfect peace.
Mm-hmm. This is what a yoke is.
Yes.
Explain to them what
a yoke is. That's good, Dom.
So you see that photo there? You can see that. I think that's the yoke there.
Ooh, excuse me. He's got a picture of a yoke.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what a yoke is.
Let's have a look, Dom. Oh, yeah. That's right.
They wouldn't understand that word.
Yeah, I've seen one of those. On a farm.
Now, a farmer's got a job to do. A farmer, I mean, not all farmers have had tractors, combine harvesters, to plough a field,
yeah.
You know. But back in the day, before mechanical engineering existed,
They used to use a
pair of oxen that to tie them together. They put this yoke across them,
mm-hmm.
You know, and the farmer could then use a pair of oxen to pull a plough. Now, a plough's a heavy thing, and it turns the soil over, turns it over. And the farmer has to work the let's call them cows or bulls, right? He wants to work them to do a job. Now, Jesus is saying to us that he's saying, take my yoke upon you, right?
Yeah.
But he's in the other side, part of the yoke.
Mm.
Because they're in pairs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right? We've just seen that picture that Dominic's shown us.
Mm.
Well, if Jesus is in the yoke, he wants you to share it with him.
Yeah.
Can you do it?
Yeah, of course we can.
Of course we can.
Because he wants to work along inside you. I think that's excellent. That's what he's saying here. And I think that's what we need to do. And some people, you could get a job. Have you ever gone to a job where people stress you out?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. People demand more of you. There's a saying in this world that some people want their pound of flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning that you've got to sacrifice part of your body just to please the boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as if you've got to wear yourself out for him.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus is saying he's not like that.
No.
He's saying I'm lowly in heart. I'm gentle. I'm patient. I'm kind. I don't want to stress you out. That's what he would say. Just come and find rest for your soul. Learn of me. Follow my example. Everything will go well with you.
Yeah.
Well,
that is what Jesus is trying to say.
Well, like when I was working in that helicopter hero, air ambulance place.
Yeah.
When I was working there, the guy that when I went upstairs,
he was quite demanding. He was telling him how he should do this, do that, and
yeah.
You know, not give him a chance to actually finish one job.
Yeah.
Trying to put him on another job before
he'd
actually finished one.
Yeah, you see.
He was actually stressing out, John.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that kind of boss you come from.
Yeah.
I know, it's not what you want, is it?
No,
it's not what.
Especially when you're volunteering.
Yeah.
When weren't I'm you? You know, I know.
Just give me one chance to have a few minutes
of rest and then get
rest.
Out to another job.
Yeah.
So
he wanted it done
there.
Yeah.
He was washing me
around. Okay.
All right, maybe that's that now.
The only time I get a bit like that, if we're having a church service and it's going to start at 8:30 and we turn up at 8:25 and we've got to get everything ready, I'm under pressure. Because the thing is, the reason being, the people are coming to the service. They're coming for it to start at 8:30.
Yeah.
They ain't coming for it to start at 11:40.
No.
Now, that's pressure.
Yeah.
And we don't need, the thing is, the problem is us. The problem is we should get there earlier.
Because you've got the added pressure, you're writing the sermon like the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you see what I mean? And that's the only time I get on edge.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep calm because people don't want to, I don't want to show people I'm anxious, I'm stressed, and I'm under pressure.
Mm.
So it's a very fine balancing act. Mm. And, you know, I've heard you, Dom. People might say that the Lord wants us to be fruitful and multiply, and it's as if we're not. And but with all our little issues that we have, bad habits, we don't know that people will look at us and think, do you know what, they can't start on time, I don't think I'll bother coming back here again. But they ain't going to tell you that.
No.
They ain't going to say, excuse me, do you know what, you're not very good at timekeeping. You don't start on time. I tell you what, I'm not coming back again.
Yeah.
But in order for us to be perfect, because that's what the Lord wants from us, we have to be above reproach, but set a good example. The Lord Jesus sets a good example. We have to do that. You know, Karen, you're early every week, you know, and Liam, you come with your mum and it's good. You know, I know you go to the other church, Janet, but these are things that we need to work on ourselves. You know, incidentally, I went to Revelation 22. You don't have to turn there. I'll just tell you. And 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Yeah.
Right. It's near the end of the Bible. But God himself, at the end of the Bible, is saying, come. He's saying it to everybody. He's wanting everybody to come. 22:17.
I was thinking about the verse that says, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication make your requests
known to God. Yeah. Thanks, Dom. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God is offering so much to everybody,
yeah.
And yet people will not come. People stay away. They'd rather thirst. They'd rather go do lally. They'd rather go to the psychiatrist and take Smarties.
No.
How sad is that?
It's wrong.
It's very wrong.
Because and that's just really putting the cart before the horse.
Just the Lord Jesus is offering so much.
Yeah. And people don't want to take it. They just rather do their own thing and end up being more stressed or...
I read a parable the other day. I think it was in Luke's Gospel. And the parable is about somebody who's having a big banquet. And he sends out his servant and says, invite all the nobles. There's like an invitation list. And all these nobles are welcome to come.
Yeah.
To this dinner banquet.
Mm.
And one by one, they all refuse to come.
Yeah.
One by one. One says, oh, you want me to come to this banquet? I just got married.
Mm.
I just got married. I want to be with my wife. I want to spend time with her. I'll go on holiday and do things like that.
Mm.
Well, he was invited and he wouldn't come.
Matthew 22:1-14, Luke 14:15-20.
Okay. All right. And Dom, do you want to read one of the accounts, whether it was Matthew or Luke? It doesn't matter. So Dom's going to read the parable to us. I read it from Luke the other day, Dom.
I think I've got a different one.
Okay.
That's fine. No, because there's a parable of the great banquet and there's another parable.
Okay, well, I've explained. So what happens next, right? What happens next? The people don't come, and the servant goes back to his master and says, well, I went out to invite all these people that you said about to him, and they all turned you down. They all said they didn't want to come. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what he said? He said, I'll tell you what, go out into the highways and the byways and bring in the poor, bring in the blind, bring in the lowly. You know, the disabled and the people that life treads on, you know, invite a lot. And you know what? They all come.
Mm.
And that is what is going to happen again.
Yeah.
God is inviting people that are, maybe they got an academic background.
Yeah.
Maybe they're high and noble. You know, maybe they've got a few degrees or they're professional people, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see any of them here tonight.
No.
I'm sorry. We're meek and lowly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another verse, 1 Corinthians 26:27. It talks about not many are wise among you, right? Not many noble. Are you high and mighty?
No.
No, I don't think you are. I know you're not. I just thought I'd ask you though, just in case you said yes. but the Lord, right? The Lord, Karen, when we come to him with our lack of ability to have an academic background or whatever, the Lord gives it to us anyway.
Yeah.
Doesn't he, Dominic?
Yeah.
He does. He helps us to become wise people.
Mm-hmm.
He helps us to become noble people.
John, would that 1 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, 27. Yeah? Sherlock, well, let's all go there, yeah? All right. You.
I'm already there.
The, you read it, Karen. Go on, read it to us. 26.
For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Yeah, that'll do. What do you think of that? And that's a classic verse. You see, what I'm trying to help you with tonight is I want you to take hold. You're holding your phone, right? Yeah? You're holding your computer. Hold your computer, Liam. Right? That means you took hold of it.
Yeah.
Right? Have you taken hold of that Bible, or is it just resting on your lap?
Resting on my lap.
Well, take hold of it. Take hold of it. That's it. You took hold of it, right? Dominic's got taken hold of his pad. What do you call that, Dom?
iPad.
An iPad. Yeah? So each and every one of you, you've taken hold of something. Mm-hmm. The Lord wants you to take hold of these Bible verses.
Hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Matthew? Chapter 11, mm-hmm. What verse was it? Anyone remember?
28.
Yeah.
Well done, Karen.
And 29.
Yeah.
And 30. Mm-hmm. You write that down in your notebook when you're ready. And yeah. And what about, are you going to remember that verse?
Yeah.
Can you remember it like John 3:16? Can you do that?
Yeah.
I want you to. And not only do I want you to, the Lord wants you to. Remember what you notice.
So what was it?
Go on, I'll let Karen.
Matthew 11:28.
Well done, Liam. Yeah, well done,
Matthew
well done.
11:28.
30. Take hold of that verse. Can you do that?
Yeah.
I want you to. You take hold of it. When you go shopping,
yeah,
and you buy your groceries,
yeah,
yeah, and you nowadays people take their carrier bag with them, shopping bag. Mm. They don't want to keep buying another carrier bag from the supermarket.
Yeah.
So when you put your biscuits in the bag, when you put your milk, your sausages, your bacon, I don't know what else you buy, tomato ketchup, HP sauce, cheese, bread, yeah, eggs. These are common things you buy, don't you?
And ready-made meals.
Ready, all right. Ready-made meals. Now, when you paid for the goods, what do? Leave them at the counter?
No.
You take hold of them.
Yeah.
Right? If you didn't take hold of them, you'd be leaving them in the shop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, who does that?
No one.
Who does that? Have you ever done that?
No, I shouldn't do
that. Have you ever done it?
No.
I've been stuck in the shop before.
Have you done that, Dominic?
Dominic has, because he did not take hold of it. Did you, Dom? I'll tell you one, Dom. I went to a cash point machine once, yeah? I put my card in. I put my key, my number in, right? What do they call it? Your
PIN number.
Mm-hmm. He said, how much do you want to take out? I said, £200. Press the button. The card came out. I walked off. I didn't take hold of the money.
Oh, dear.
You silly Billy.
A couple of hours later, I realised. Hang about. Where's my money? I didn't take hold of it.
Oh.
I left it at the cash.
In the machine.
The person who was behind me got the money.
Oh, dear.
Whose fault is that?
They wouldn't like that.
Whose fault is that?
Your own fault.
Your own fault.
because I didn't take hold of it. The Lord wants you to take hold of these Bible verses. Don't forget them.
No.
Get it in your head. On your arm, yeah, you got a tattoo.
Yeah.
Can you get rid of it?
No.
Right, listen.
It's always been on there.
Same with me. Your brain, your heart,
yeah.
I want you to tattoo those Bible verses on your brain and your heart. But don't go to the tattoo shop.
No.
And say, if you go in there and he said, what can I do to you? So I want a tattoo of Matthew 11:28 on my brain. What's he going to say? Get out of the shop.
Yeah.
You
just got to keep it in your mind.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, for example, the Lord says, I will write these things on your heart. Pray to the Lord and say, Lord, please help me to remember these things, that they're on my heart. They're in my mind. You see what I mean, Karen?
Yeah.
You've done it with John 3:16.
Yeah.
Now, because I know you've done it with John 3:16, you can do it with this verse.
Yeah.
Can you do it?
Yeah.
Because when we went to 1 Corinthians, look at this. Look at this, right? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26 and let's read it again. I'll read it this time, right? Are you going to open that Bible?
I can't because it's small, right?
Okay, okay, don't worry. You listen, yeah?
Yeah.
You got no potatoes in your ears, have you?
No.
You can hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Good. Listen carefully.
Yeah.
For you see your calling. Have you been called? You don't know what to say, do you?
Well, I've been called quite a lot on my elbow.
Oh, not by God, you haven't.
I'm not talking about being called up on your phone.
But I still have memory of being shouted by the Lord Jesus.
The Lord calling you?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Jesus still talking
to me. That's what I want to know. Have you been called by the Lord?
Yeah, I have.
It says here, look, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Right?
Mm.
We could go. Do you know, have you heard of Oxford University? You're not sure, right? Karen?
What?
I don't think either of you know where it is.
It.
You heard of it?
Yeah.
I didn't hear the question,
Bill. Okay. Have you heard of Oxford University?
Yes, I have.
Have you heard of Cambridge University?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, and there's one in London called King's College, right?
Yeah.
These are top universities, right?
Yeah.
Now, certain people go there, but Jethro is very smart, and it's the Lord has called him already.
Yeah.
But people that are there, the Lord's not calling them. Do you know why? A lot of them are wrapped up in their funny theories about people coming from monkeys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to generalize and undermine these people, but the Lord is saying, not many noble, not many people after the flesh. He ain't calling them. But he's calling meek, lowly people that don't have a great education.
No.
And hear this out, right? And verse 27, you got verse 27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Would you say or agree with me that God has chosen you?
Yes.
Isn't that a comforting thought?
Yeah, it is.
It's comforting, Janet.
Yeah.
God has chosen you.
Yeah.
God has chosen Dom.
Yeah.
And Karen and Liam. And me.
Yeah, yourself.
That's special. There's a, do you want to know a long, I'm going to tell you a long word. Right?
Right.
You tell me if you can comprehend it, because it's quite a deep word. Dominic will tell you. Predestination. Mm-hmm. Or you can put it in another context. Predestinationism. Mm-hmm. It means that long time ago, before the world was made, God chose you.
Uh-huh.
John, so I'll just say one thing.
Go on, then.
I've been reading number 28.
What in 1 Corinthians?
Yeah.
Go on, then.
He said, and branch things of the...
Base things. It says base things, not branch.
Yeah, base things of the world and things which...
despised. Despised.
Hates God, choose death, and things which are not to bring
to naught.
Things which are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a continuation of the whole passage.
Yeah.
All right?
It's like, John, the way we are, we... believing in the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And our actual work.
Yeah.
To proving him that we're following him and we're using our brain.
Yeah.
To thinking of him.
Yeah.
Because without him, we wouldn't be in this world.
Exactly. And with you, especially, well, with you and Janet, with all of us.
Yeah.
Through our study of Jesus Christ and the gospel stories, God is making you wiser.
Yeah.
God is giving you an education.
Mm.
God is giving you knowledge and understanding. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah, it is a good thing.
Because if God didn't do that for us, we would be fools.
Yeah.
We would be foolish. And there's a saying in this world, Liam, we would be as thick as 2 short planks.
Yeah.
And I reckon that would describe all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we didn't know Jesus. But we do know Jesus.
Yeah.
And we are learning about the things of God. Isn't that a comfort?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when we pray for him and we read our Bibles.
Let me say this to you. If I went back to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, right? If I went back there, should we go? Yeah, well, you said the print's too small. All right, Matthew 11. Yeah. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Right? Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Do you know what? In a way, Jesus, he's offering us a gift, a precious gift, the gift of his yoke, the gift of knowing him, the gift of having a rest in him.
And also believing in him.
Yeah, yeah, which is a gift.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question. When it's your birthday, you were expecting a gift from someone, maybe your dad or your mum or your brother or your sister, yeah, or your friends. Did you ever say, when somebody was going to, on your birthday, right, someone's going to give you a gift, you say, oh, all right, bruv, don't bother, I don't want it, yeah, give it to someone else. Did you ever say that?
No.
You didn't, did you?
No. No.
Because you know that's a stupid thing to do, isn't it?
You say thank you very much.
There you go. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for being my friend. Thank you, thank you very, very much. You don't turn it away, do you?
No, you can't turn your back away.
Before you came here tonight, because you was a bit late, so we all had a little chat, and I told everybody what I did today, and I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I got a parcel from the post office,
yeah.
And I put gifts inside it. It was a box, a parcel box, right? Mm-hmm. So I put gifts inside, tea bags, shortbread biscuits, marzipan sweets, a teacup. You put, you know what sage is, Karen? It's a scent.
Yeah.
You put it around the house. Mm-hmm. A like a bouquet of scents.
Yeah.
And a little teddy bear, Paddington Bear.
Oh.
I put it in there and I wrote my cousin's name on it, on the box, and her address. I paid the money for the postage, and I've sent it to America. Mm. Now, I've told her, I've sent an email to her.
Yeah.
I said, dear Jackie, hope you're well. Just letting you know, I'm sending you a parcel today.
Yeah.
So she knows on Friday, the 23rd of September, her cousin, John, in England, is sending her a gift. Well, it's going to take 4 or 5 days to get there. That's what they told me at the post office. She's not going to tell the postman, forget it, I don't want it. It's travelled 4,000 miles to her home.
Yeah.
She's not going to turn that away, is she?
No.
That's the problem. Because that's what people are doing to Jesus.
Turning him away.
They're turning him away. And he's offering so much. I'm giving my cousin tea bags, marzipan sweets, biscuits, a cup and a Paddington Bear. And she's going to say, oh, John, thank you. You made my day. But I'm just giving little things. Jesus is offering us heavenly things. And people are turning it away. That has got to be the saddest thing you've ever heard, isn't it?
Yeah, when someone says about, are you trying to waste my opening time?
Exactly. Well, Liam, you and Dominic, especially, you love evangelising and giving out tracts.
Yeah.
Every tract that you're giving out is like this. It's like what Jesus is offering us.
Yeah.
So you're offering people eternal life, which is I mean, talk about gifts. It doesn't get any better than that, does it?
No.
To inherit eternal life. And that's what Jesus is offering. And people are saying, I don't want it.
I don't
want to
know it. And that's what people are trying to say. Oh, I don't
want
to know it.
No, they don't. Is that not the saddest thing you've ever heard?
Yeah, it is.
And that's why they...
They say, no, thank you.
Hold that, Janet, for me, please. I'll tell you what, I'm going to read a verse. Let's go to John's Gospel. Let's go to John's Gospel. Chapter 5. It's very sad what we're really thinking about. Or 5:24. Right, I'll read this to you. John, chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus is always ready to give. Always. We're going to end it here, right? But let me just read this verse, right? So it says, verily, verily, right? I say unto you, he that heareth my word, this is what we've been doing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hearing the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
We believe in his word. And he's saying, if you do, if you accept my words, and if you accept him that sent me, that's the Father, you already have eternal life. That's what he's saying, isn't it, Dom? He's given us the gift of eternal life, and yet people don't want it. They say, no, it's not good enough. I don't want it. I'd rather go to see the psychiatrist and get the Smarties. It's just bad, isn't it?
Stupid.
What on earth are they thinking? It says here, if I read more, it says, and shall not come into condemnation, right, but is passed from death to life. This is the thing. We're just sitting in your front room. But the present reality is that this is true. That if, all right, you know what? Here, this is interesting. On the news, I said news earlier on, didn't I?
Yeah.
You missed that bit as well. News, you say, what's that? And I say to you, on the news this week, Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia, because you didn't understand it a couple of weeks ago, I said, do you know there's a war going on? And you didn't know, right? Well, the war is getting so serious that the leader in Russia is threatening to send nuclear warheads, as missiles, with nuclear power to blow up anyone that's against him, that's trying to stop him fulfilling his plans.
What's wrong,
if he fires a nuclear warhead to London,
we'll be dead.
We say goodbye. You say goodbye to anyone you know, Liam. Go down McDonald's, say goodbye. They say, "What? Why is that?" They say, well, there's a nuclear warhead heading our way. Going to blow us all up. But what does that mean for us? Have you heard this?
Yeah.
What does it mean? Well, we'll be dead. But will we? We'll have eternal life. Is that what you want?
Well, none of us do.
I want eternal life, thank you very much. You're not listening, Liam.
Yeah, the first one, I meant, what you said.
Listen, Jesus said, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew, because they were talking about the time of the end, weren't they, Dominic?
Yeah.
And he said, you'll hear of wars and rumours of wars. Yeah. Are we going to get upset about it?
Yeah.
No.
No.
You don't have to, Karen. The reason being, it's because you've got eternal life now.
Yeah.
So if we get blown up, well, at 11 o'clock, it's 5 to 10 now.
Yeah.
That means we've got 65 minutes. If we got blown up, well, call it 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, a nuclear warhead could hit London in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Are we upset about that? Well, we might be upset for people that don't go to heaven.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if we're dead in this, if we get blown up, you go straight to heaven.
Yeah, our spirits go to heaven.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. So what I'm trying to say is, we're going to be happy little bunnies, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, you're cracking me up, you lot. That is the present reality. If anything happens to us, Like before you came, again, we had another conversation about Pete Davis. He had a heart attack last week. His wife's upset because she'll miss him. And Graham and Karen will miss him. We'll all miss him. But the thing is, we can have peace of mind that he's with the Lord. You see? And that's what the Lord wants us to have. We don't have to worry. Listen, the world will worry about this, that and the other. But we don't have to worry because we're going to trust in the Lord. Now, before we close, what is the verse that I've asked you to remember?
Matthew 11:28
to 29.
Yeah, yeah. And for good measure,
yeah.
Why don't you remember or write it down? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26, 27, 28, who come before you. And we do thank you once again for the word of God, for what it can do to our lives, how it can change us, how it can mould us, and how it can make us to be successful in being your disciples, your followers, being called and being chosen by you. We're so grateful, Lord. Oh, Lord, we're so grateful you begun a good work in our life. And we know that you will complete it, Lord. We do pray and thank you for all the kindness and the blessings that you pour into our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.